Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Newton's third law. It goes like this. Newton's third law of momentum is for every force, there is an equal and opposite force. Bit of a head scratcher that one, and we have to go in for this. Now, the important thing for all these Newton's laws, he's written it in a time before equations, and we're going to go up to equations, but the equations we write have to be very precise, and we have to apply them to things, so we're going to have to add in subscripts to it. So for every force, there's an equal and opposite force. Now, what that means is that if I draw a force on an object, that so basically Newton's first two laws are to do with bodies. Newton's third law is to do with a system, that is, two bodies interacting. If two things interact, they form a system. So this is sort of the mental jump. So we've sort of more grab bag of ideas going in. So I've automatically a system of two things. I'll sort of go into it. I'm just going to quickly summarize the first two laws and the lessons from the first two laws. The first law is that the acceleration on an object is zero if the net force on an object is zero. The second law, you notice I'm doing the quick maths version. The second law is that's the law of inertia, it's called. The law of force and mass is the sum of external forces on a body equals the resultant force equals the mass of the body times the acceleration of the body. And that's Newton's second law of force and mass. The lessons learnt are about the different types of inertial frames, the equivalence of work done to change in kinetic energy in a non-loss system, and the impulse being equal to the change of momentum. Now, we're coming on to Newton's second law, and what we have to do is grind through a better way of describing vectors. Now, the force on an object is equal, has for every force, there's an equal and opposite force. For every applied force, there is an equal and opposite force applied back. It's a closer thing. I think you should actually say that. For every applied force, there's an equal and opposite force applied backwards. And that's an important thing to do. So for contact forces, the forces are at the point of contact. For a field force, it's the object in the field and the object generating the field. That's sort of a bit hard to get your mind around. But we have to say we have to do a little bit of vector stuff to convert this across. A vector points in a direction. It points in the opposite direction if it's got a minus sign. So a direction of minus 3 kilometers an hour north is actually 3 kilometers an hour south. So we get this written equation, which is F object 1 on object 2 equals minus the force of object 2 on object 1. And when it says minus, we can write this as vector signs of it. The minus means it's just pushing back in the opposite direction. And you'll have to write that up and draw it. So F1, 2 equals minus F2, 1. This is getting a smaller, using the idea of subscripts. So it's so important to put subscripts. Now, the initial thing that we do is multiply both. So this is why it's best to stop and expand Newton's second law first. We multiply both sides by t. F1, 2 times t equals minus F2, 1 times t. The force on object, the force of object 1 on object 2, so that's F delta T is M2VF minus M2VI of object 2 equals the negative of MV final minus the M1V initial. That is, there's an equal opposite impulse, and the change in momentum of object 2 equals the change in momentum of object 1 to get you across. So force of object 1 on 2, F12, okay, that will change the momentum of object mass 2. So you've got to bring that over. See if you can do it in your head, but it's the basic thing is that the change in momentum of object 1 equals the change in momentum of object 2. So there's a momentum transfer. So the conservation of momentum states that a system in an interaction will conserve its momentum. And that's a bit of a hard thing to get through. So this is Newton's third law. For every force is an equal and opposite force, and then we track that through with our subscripts F12 equals minus F21. We multiply both sides by T and wind up that the change in momentum of object of mass 2 equals the change of object 2 or body 2 equals the change of momentum of object 1. And so the momentum gained by one is lost by the other. So there's a net conservation of momentum. So it's this law of conservation of momentum. So you can't obviously get there unless you do the ground hard yards back of actually teaching people subscripts and teaching and stopping for a while and teaching them expanding Newton's second law, and then from that it's much easier once you've described what momentum is, and then you declare momentum and impulse, you can declare the body, the implications of Newton's third law using the second law gives you the conservation of momentum. Basically the third law by itself just doesn't give you momentum conservation. It's a bit of a tricky thing because it's the equations are sort of not perfectly aligned with the verbal descriptions coming along. But Newton would agree with it all because he was thinking not in terms of the discrete way that we dissect and have momentum occurring as the initial concept he had, the final concept, the arrival concept. He began with the momentum as a fundamental concept and worked through. And this beginning with momentum is an important thing that that's what Einstein did in his special relativity. He considered momentum rather than mass to start off with. Thanks for listening. I hope this clarifies it all for you. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.